It is the morning show. We're learning about financially capable people. There's new research published last week in the journal Economic Research. It defines it this way. Financially capable people have both the ability and the opportunity to improve their financial well-being by making prudent financial decisions and actions. So we're exploring how to cultivate this with your money questions along the way. Conversation right here at 800-642-1234. Again, conversation is here, 800-642-1234. Sherry Daniels is an associate professor for human development and relationships at UW-Madison in the Center for Financial Security. Sherry, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate.
So you work with people to build their financial capability. What does that mean to you? How would you define it?
Well, I would define it as people who understand what money's coming in and where it's going and make good choices.
And when you make those good choices, what happens? What are the end results if you have quite a bit of that financial capability?
Well, you're not stressed about finances. Last I looked, financial stress was the biggest reason for divorces, for starters. And, you know, it's really important to kids, too, not to hear fights about money. So being able to manage your finances, no matter what income you bring in, is really important for happiness.
Why do we misunderstand how and why we spend money?
Well, there's so many different reasons. We all earn and spend money for different reasons, and there's different personalities. And I think a lot of times with couples, they look at money differently and spend differently, and that can cause some conflict.
And in that conflict, how do you help couples through this who are financially tied to each other in their spending and have to learn to, you know, adopt or at least adjust to each other's ways and habits and behaviors?
Well, I don't want to promote any other company or outside thing, but I use Money Habitudes. It's research-based, and it asks people questions so that they can get a better idea. We don't think about why we spend money or how we spend money. We don't realize that it comes from different personalities and different people have very different ideas. Some people like to be spontaneous where others are very security oriented. And so that, you know, understanding why and how can bridge the difference.
Do you find that if couples have very different ways in how they approach money, can they still make it? Can they still work it out?
Absolutely. That's not the most important thing in a relationship, but it can cause some conflict unless they take the time to figure it out and to understand each other.
You know, budgeting is a big area of building and maintaining financial capability. Why is sticking to a budget such a struggle?
Well, although I love budgets and love to talk about them, I don't use that word because it scares people. So I say spending plan. You okay. Earn the money, so decide how you want to spend it.
Yeah. And so on this spending plan journey, you know, how do you make it fun and easy and practical and something you want to think about and something that you want to achieve?
How do I make it? That's a good question. I don't think I can do that. I think each individual needs to do that. And so when we coach people to be more financially capable, we can't look at our values. We have to look at theirs and see what makes them happy, what things they want to change, what things they want to improve, and what happiness it'll bring to them. So that's a hard question for me to answer because I know for me, but everyone's different.
What are some good values, Sherry, or good skills to have in order to be capable of, you know, building that spending plan and sticking to it?
Well, I'll tell you, most of the times when I sit down with people and we do a spending plan, we get to the end and I say, hey, you should have an extra $250 a month, for example. And they say, oh, no, we don't even have enough money to buy food. Where's your money going? Track your money. You have to track that cash and know what habits you have that might be costing you a lot of money.
So tracking that money is certainly about attention to detail, and that is also a difficult skill in really being able to get into the weeds. What can you help us fine-tune that attention to detail?
Okay, let me give you an example. Let's say you have a habit, might be coffee, might be something else, of $6 a day.
Mm-hmm.
So what that adds up to in a year is 180, or in 30 days, $180. But in a year, $2,190.
Whoa.
Let's say you've had that habit for 5 years, $10,956. For 20 years, $43,830. So tracking your money and those little spending habits can make a huge difference long term.
Financial capability expert Sherry Daniel, she's laying it out. She's our guide to improving our financial behavior. How did you learn to save, budget, spending plan, all of that? Where'd you learn it? 800-642-1234 is where we're at. We'll continue this conversation ahead with Sherry Daniels on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. We're learning about financial capability, how to build it. A newly announced 100,000 grant program, it's called Wisconsin Strong, aims to build financial capability in the state's workforce. Grant is coming from the Wells Fargo Foundation. Workers are growing more concerned about family finances as governments face major budget shortfalls. Do you have trouble understanding your partner or your child's spending habits? How have you learned to build credit and manage your finances in these times of massive layoffs and furloughs? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Again, conversation, 800-642-1234. Sherry Daniels is with the UW-Madison Center for Financial Security, and she stays with us. So, Sherry, you work with volunteers to help community members build financial capability. So you're kind of coaching the coaches. What are some things you tell your coaches that we could apply to support our family and friends who struggle financially?
Well, you have to listen, right, and see what people's goals are and see what's getting them off track. And you want to come from their perspective, not your own, since we all have different values. So listening to what their goals are and providing some suggestions. But most of the time, people know what they need to do. You know, it's just like eating well. We know what we need to do. It's not that we always do it, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So here in the pandemic, that has increased people's stress. As you mentioned, stress is just, you know, out the window. How do you have to work harder to listen, and when there is such flux in people's financial circumstances?
Well, right now, it's more about resources. It's hard to think about a spending plan or, you know, I get calls. I lost my job. My husband lost my job. We have a special needs child. I don't know what to do. You know, people need to rely on community resources. Our communities are pretty great with that, especially right now. They've really built up their resources for people.
Built up resources, but you still have to hunt for those resources. You still have to be very proactive.
Well, that's just it. The people I talk to, they're overwhelmed. They don't know where to go or where to turn. So I tell them United Way is a great resource, 211. CAP Services is another great resource. But every community has a lot of resources. You just have to know where to go, and that's hard if you've never been in that situation before.
Let me ask you this. Are your coaches still able to connect and support people with their financial needs at this time? Can you do that outreach right now? Are you finding people?
Yes, we are. And the coaches do it via Zoom, so no in-person right now, or phone if they don't have Zoom capability. But yes, people are reaching out. It's just in the most of the cases, It's really about helping them find community resources. Mm-hmm. They're just overwhelmed. So talking about a spending plan when you have no income doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Well, let's look at credit for a moment here. It's a big challenge building credit. How should we build and stay on top of credit?
Well, don't be late on your payments. That's the number one effect on credit and the largest percentage of credit. So being late costs fees, plus it'll really hurt your credit. Not having any credit is a bad thing, too. You need to prove to people you can make payments. So, you know, getting credit's good. You just have to make the payments on time.
What about checking credit scores? How often would you suggest?
Oh, UW Extension has a great program. It's called 22661010. So annualcreditreport.com is the government's free website. And so we say 22 because February 2nd, 6-6, June 6th, and October 10th, we have three credit bureaus. So that way you can check them three times a year. Although right now during this COVID, you can even check it more. But during regular times, you can check each of your credit reports. And with all of the identity theft going on, please know what's on your credit.
Financial capability expert Sherry Daniels is our guide to improving our financial behavior. How would you rate your financial capability? Where are your weaknesses or avoidances when it comes to money? It's 800-642-1234. That's where conversation is at. There's more conversation ahead with Sherry Daniels on your pocketbook issues. That's ahead here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. News is next. Right now, we're looking more closely at financial capability, that is having a level of understanding of financial matters to take effective steps toward achieving your financial goals, right? Your family's money goals. It goes beyond simple financial literacy. So who schooled you in how to manage money? How did you develop attitudes toward money that inform your decisions today? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Sherry Daniels is an associate professor for human development and relationships at UW-Madison Division of Extension, and she's our guide. So, Sherry, you work with the program Rent Ready of Wisconsin. What challenges are renters facing in our state?
Well, it's really tough right now for people to rent if they've had a bad history. So I've seen people that are living in hotels, motels for a year, 2 years, 3 years, because they can't find someone to rent to them because they've had a bankruptcy or a foreclosure or, you know, an eviction. And so this program helps educate people. And landlords are under a lot of pressure, too. They can't really say, yes, I'll accept you as a renter, even though you've had an eviction. But if they go through this program, that allows them then to say, hey, yes, I accepted this person with an eviction. And if you go through the program, I might accept you, too. So it's a way that people can really find reasonable rent. Because in all of our communities, we're seeing predatory lending or predatory renting going up, meaning, sure, someone will rent to them, but it'll be twice the price and not good living conditions.
Predatory renting, are you seeing that? Where do you see that? What is that like?
Again, people are living in substandard places and paying twice the amount. So if you can live in a hotel or motel and pay, you know, 30, 40, 50% of your income, why shouldn't you be able to rent just because you have a bad history? So we work with them and teach them what being a good renter is and also coming to terms with their past and why it won't happen again. And so they put together a whole portfolio for a landlord saying, this is the past, this is what happened. I'm being upfront with you, even though you can't ask these questions, but I'm telling you why it won't happen again.
I think, you know, we've seen the headlines. We're facing an eviction crisis here amid the pandemic. And even though there have been federal measures in place that evictions are halted, that still could, in the months ahead, have major consequences when orders like that are lifted. What do you see about eviction amid the pandemic?
Yeah, that's a worry, Kate. You are quite right. So measures are in place to prevent that right now, but what will happen when everything's done, no one's quite sure. But that's why programs like Rent Ready Wisconsin are really important to people.
What do you teach through that program? Kind of walk us through what this Rent Ready program is like.
Well, we teach them, again, what landlords' rights are, what their rights are, how to be a good tenant, what things landlords prefer, because I work with a landlord in this program, so I don't do it all myself. This is a community-based program. It's even set up so that if someone does default on a loan, 3 months' rent will be paid by sponsors. So it really started from hunger and poverty prevention of Portage County. But then there are a lot of other community partners that are coming together that are seeing this problem and saying, hey, let's come up with a solution. And so we talk with them about that, but it's really also the hardest part is going through the past. Why did it happen, and why will it not happen again? And a lot of times there's drug and alcohol and mental health issues too.
We're talking with Sherry Daniels, who works in the UW Center for Financial Security. We're learning about how to build financial capability and manage spending amid the pandemic and with all the impacts on the economy. Sherry, how would you advise people? How do you be a good tenant? What does that mean? What does that look like?
Well, most landlords don't like pets. They certainly don't like smokers. And it's okay if you're a smoker. You just say you smoke outside, not inside. Otherwise, they have to repaint and change the carpeting. So it's a lot of little things that who would teach us this, right? Where would we learn this? We learn from our past. And so it's just going back to the basics, really. And it depends on, you know, our background and where we've been and what we haven't learned. We don't know what we don't know, right?
Mm. How would you advise landlords in these times? How do you be a good landlord?
Well, certainly don't take advantage of people and have substandard properties. I mean, understand people are going through difficult times. And if someone's been a good tenant for a long time, they'll continue to be a good tenant. But times are tough.
How do you recommend negotiation right now with landlords? Because if you've been a good tenant, you've had that history of paying your rent on time month after month, perhaps year after year, and now you're in financial straits due to the pandemic. How do you communicate with the landlord and maybe find a common ground?
Well, communication is key. What happens many, many times is when people are in trouble, they like to hide. It's like the ostrich burying their head in the sand. They don't want to admit to it because they've always been able to before. So this is tough, right? Mm. So the best thing I can recommend is communicate where you're at and what your intentions are.
I was watching you read some children's books to children on Zoom, and I'm wondering, how do you communicate money issues with kids? What are some tips that you have?
Well, it's never too early to talk with children about money. The research proves that the earlier we start talking to our children about money, they better understand it. If in a household, every time money comes up, there's a big fight and it's angry, that's what kids associate with money. We need to get them involved. Let them know as they're little. Read to them. Talk to them about money, about saving, about the costs of things, not just hide it from them. So some parents were brought up with people who taught them this and some were not. So it's important that everyone knows. Talk to your kids about money.
It goes beyond just keeping a piggy bank on their dresser, that you really have to engage and be active about these conversations.
Well, sure, and there's lots of different ways to do it. When you're at the store or grocery store, say, hey, look at this. This is how much this is per ounce. This is how much this is per ounce. You know, it's all right there. And tell them why you're doing what you're doing and buying maybe a non-brand name because of the cost.
One of the things that I've done with my kids is give them a stack of coupons and say, okay, look for the things that we normally buy, like the peanut butter, clip out the coupon, and then I need you to add it all up and tell me how much money there is in coupons. So I would say put that tip on the table.
Oh, yes. That's awesome, Kate.
Yeah. There can also be really difficult conversations where children don't understand why they're having to move from their home or their apartment. They don't understand why the water is being shut off, or that, things are completely changing. Their world is turning upside down because of money. What about those difficult times?
Again, communication is key. You know, children are pretty bright. They understand a lot of the communication and what's going on. So talking to them and explaining to them, this is not what we planned, but we lost our jobs because of what's going on. And so this is what we need to do in order to keep our family together. And just communicate with them, but also listen to them. What are their concerns? What are their fears?
You know, in this time that is so difficult, and you see so many people at times when they don't know where to turn or that they're trying to get on track with spending. I'm wondering, do you see much financial capability out there?
Yes, I do. People are very resourceful in that, especially if they've become used to not having much. They take advantage. They know the community resources. And I don't mean take advantage in a bad way. I mean, right now, when times are tough, community resources are higher than ever. So find out where they are in your community and use them. That's what they're for. And it's hard for people to ask for help.
I was going to say, does pride get in the way, though, of that common sense, of that capability?
Absolutely. It would with any of us, right?
How do you work through that with people and say, you need to ask right now?
Yeah. Well, again, it's about listening to people. And if keeping your family together is most important to you, then how do you do that? What's the best way to do it? And if you need money for rent, you can't spend it on food when there's food banks that are food pantries that are around that can provide that so that you can pay rent, so that you can keep the family together. So it's about utilizing resources and just weighing the pros and cons of where we're spending our money.
Sherry, you know, there's a sea of financial advice out there. What is your best tip for us? What's your best tip you can leave us with?
Well, I think you put our website, meaning Tough Times, and that has a lot of good information. But some other things that I use, and again, not promoting anything in general, but creditkarma.com gives you your credit score. And it also lets you say, okay, let's say I want to open a credit card for $500. What might that do to my credit score? Or let's say I want to close this account that I've had for 20 years. Length of credit is really important. So it helps you weigh the pros and cons of different financial decisions. And it's absolutely free as long as you don't click on the ads and pay for anything. Also, Mint.com is a great way to start a budgeting or a spending plan because you can do it all online, which is kind of the way most people are going now.
Sherry, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Kate.
Sherry Daniels is an associate professor for human development and relationships at UW-Madison Division of Extension, and she works with the Center for Financial Security. Financial resources and information, as she mentioned, from the Center for Financial Security, you can find them. They're at our place, wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.